In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, we find, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, the heart. For just a few minutes this evening, I want us to consider living epistles. Before we get in to the lesson, I also want to add my welcome to everyone. It's good to see everyone able to be out this evening as we end the day in worship to our Heavenly Father and begin the week spending time in His Word. So you are manifestly declared to be the epistle. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Paul is saying that each one of us is a letter. And do we ever stop to consider ourselves as that? With Paul, evidently, some of Paul's opponents at Corinth had come with letters of commendation, either from brethren, high-standing brethren, or from churches. And they had drawn some negative contrast between their formal official letter proved standing in the church and what they were pleased to describe as Paul's self-assessed, self-manufactured, boast-sustaining standing. So Paul would come and let them know that he was an apostle. They would say, well, we have letters of commendation from this church or so-and-so. We're better than you. And Paul is getting across to them. He turns that sword, their weapon, against them and shows how ridiculous their claims are to respect and reverence with his own self and the commendation. Paul didn't need commendation from anyone. It was the other ones that needed commendation, the ones that were boasting. And without letters from somebody, those other people would be nobodies. So just having a letter saying something does not raise you up to a higher position. And how ridiculous would it be for Paul to come to Corinth or some other church and pull out a letter and say, see, I'm the apostle. You need to listen to me. That's just ridiculous. You think about his standing. He lived it. He lived the gospel. He lived it. He taught it to them. They were living it. He did not need a letter from someone else. But he talks about us being letters, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Well, what is an epistle? An epistle basically is a letter or something one has written for the good of another. It may contain the revelation of one man's thoughts and feelings to another. The visible creation is a great letter spread out before the eyes of men. This is saying what we see around that God has created, that in a sense is a letter for all of us to see and read, in which we can read the wisdom and power of God. Another type of letter, providence, is another letter written by the finger of God, but that one's a little bit harder to read. Sometimes we can't read that till we get on down the road. The church is an epistle of Christ written by the Spirit of God and sent into the world as an expression of His love and His grace and His power. How is the world going to know about God? It's through the church. We are like a letter going out to the church. And every Christian is a paragraph of this great letter, written not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You are his workmanship. The style of a letter depends largely on the occasion that it is written for. You can write letters to encourage someone. You can write letters to reprove someone. You can write letters just sharing information. And then there are some letters that are written that have a lot greater impact than others. You go back to Exodus 31:18 and Deuteronomy 9:10. And what do those two passages talk about? And when he had made an end speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. Did God have a physical finger come down and write that? I think this is figurative language, but it's in terms that we understand. God wrote these tablets of stone, these commandments, which his people were to follow. So there are different types of letters. We are a letter, and people are reading us, our letter, in our conduct. If people cannot see Christ in our conduct, we are not going to be teaching them anything. So with a letter, I want us to consider a few points about a letter this evening. Number one, a letter is written on prepared material. Not on the table of the stony heart, but on the fleshly table of the new heart. Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them. Not on the rotten rags of our own righteousness, but on the white linen of his own righteousness, which is unto all that believe. So this material, our heart. And in Jeremiah 31 and verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So we start off seeing a letter is written on prepared material. God wrote a letter. He wrote the Ten Commandments. He wrote the law to Moses on a tablet of stone. And what is the contrast that Ezekiel and Jeremiah are talking about? God's not going to write a letter now again on stone, but he's going to prepare our hearts. He's going to prepare our hearts and write a letter on our hearts. Well, a second thing to consider with a letter bears the expression of the writer. The person that is writing something has something in their mind that they want to convey to us. Every true believer is an expression of the character and mind of Christ. We are epistles of Christ. Christ revealed himself to us. He expressed himself to us. As living epistles, we express Christ to others by the way we live. So this is one of the letters that my dad wrote to me when he was living in Tennessee. And I can pick up these letters. I have a few of them that I kept. And I can read them. I know what was in his mind, what he was thinking, what he was feeling, what he wanted to do, what he wanted to see happen. He is expressing his thoughts on this prepared material that we call a letter. And again, physical law, spiritual law. God prepares this material. He expresses himself on our hearts, on our minds, And a letter expresses what is in the heart of a person. Now, if I read this from my dad when he was in Tennessee, I wouldn't know what my uncle was thinking, because this doesn't express my uncle's heart. This expresses my father's heart. And this word right here expresses our father's heart. And he wants our heart to be in sync with his heart. So a letter bears the expression of the writer. Again, physical, spiritual, we understand point number three. A letter bears the signature of the writer. And signatures are unique. This is John Hancock's signature. It's very unique. Different people have a signature that is a unique identifier of themselves. God put his name upon his people. You stop and think about that. God's name is on us, and we are living epistles. His name is to be signed at all that we do and added to all we ask. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it, yet not I, but Christ. The signature authorizes what is said, what is recorded. If I got a letter and it told me to do this, go to town and do this and buy this and sell that and do this, and there is no name on the bottom, I would be hesitant to do that. What if I got a letter and it got me in trouble because there wasn't a signature on there? But if somebody wrote me a letter and told me to do this, go here, buy this, sell that, and they signed their name to it, they are authorizing to do what is in that letter. Friends, that's what God did with his word again. And as us, we are living epistles. We are authorized to do what God told us to do because we have his unique signature on us. A fourth point to consider about a letter. So can you read? Can you read what this says? You can't do that. You see, a letter should be legible. It should be readable. What does legible mean? Plainly discernible. Capable of being read, distinct to the eye, not fuzzy. It should be apparent. And when we think about it should be legible, how many of our lives as a Christian are not legible? Are we confusing to people? Can they look at us and say, I know that person's a Christian. I know what they're going to do on Sunday. They are distinct. But you get something like this and you don't know what this says or anything about it. It's illegible. What is the use of a letter if it cannot be understood? A letter must be clear and to the point. Some people that profess to be Christians cannot be understood as Christians by the world. They're like a fuzzy letter. They're like a scribbly letter. You can't make heads or tails of them. And it's impossible to get the right message out of it. Now, does this say I should do this or does this say I shouldn't do that? I'm not sure. I guess I could try it both ways. We can't do that. And we wouldn't risk our life on that. God's word is clear. It's perfectly clear. And when we take God's word and put it into our hearts, it should be clear that people can see. Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Why did the crowd know that Peter and John had been with Jesus? Because they saw the boldness. They had courage, they had boldness to speak the things that Jesus had told them, and the crowd marveled. They realized it. Their life was legible. It was a legible letter. It was plain. It was clear. Is it clear to others that we have been with Christ? Would somebody say, I know he has been with Christ? Or would they say, I'm not sure. Well, when we get letters, this one's pretty, it's plain and clear. I can read it. Sometimes you get a letter and part of it looks like this next slide. There's blots on it. And you'll be reading along, and I can't make out, you know, it's an expression of, I can't make this out. Can't make out this part. There's something else I can't make out. People are just sloppy. They might be eating lunch or drinking coffee while they're writing a letter and spill food and coffee on it, and you can't read it. That's not good. A letter, well, and I was going to say, and a lot of people today don't even write letters anymore. That's something that's, we shouldn't get out of that habit. We should keep writing. If it's not letters, people appreciate when they get a thank you card. When they come and visit services and we write them a note, a legible, something that they can read that's clear. We appreciate you coming. Please come back. Someone is sick. You get a get well card, happy birthday, whatever. We appreciate writing. That we should keep on doing that. But what we write should be free of blots. You get a letter, and it's got some big blots on there. The first thing you're going to notice is those blots. Now, what does that have to do with us being a living epistle? Well, if I say I'm a Christian, and you see me out somewhere, I've got a bottle of something in my hand I shouldn't have, I've got something coming out of my mouth I shouldn't have in my mouth, I've got clothing that is vulgar, I'm going to have blots all over this epistle. And what's the first thing people are going to notice? They're going to notice those blots. And if I say something to them about Christ, they aren't going to hear what I say to them about Christ. They're going to notice those blots. Faults are easily seen. And a lot of people look for them. They just look for them. There can be 99 things right, and somebody's going to look for that one thing that's not right. People are looking at us. And as epistles of Christ, if we are blotted, it's not the writer that's doing that. It's not Christ. It's not God. It's something that we have done ourselves. His work is perfect. His work is perfect. If there are blots in our life, what do? We correct them. We correct them. We erase those blots. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we are going to sin. When we sin, we need to repent. We need to pray. We need to ask for forgiveness. And his blood will cleanse us. But our goal is to be pure, to be holy, to be unspotted, without blemish, to be sanctified, to be set apart, so people can see our life and read it and know that we are a Christian. So a letter should be free from blots. A letter is known by its handwriting. Again, it's an expression of the person that's writing something. And there are different types, some very dramatic, some of different natures, and we can identify those. I want to go back to the Old Testament, to Daniel chapter 5, and read some beginning at verse 1 in Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lord, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. And just as a side point, remember last week or week or before we were talking about when the Israelites were in captivity, and it was 70 years, and it was from the time of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar and his son and his grandson, that totaled up to 70 years, and it was prophesied. So we're here reading about Belshazzar. Verse 3, then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords and his wives and the concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be third ruler in the kingdom. Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the handwriting or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled, his countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and the lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he shall give the interpretation. So they're having this banquet. They are drinking from these golden vessels, and there's this finger that appears and writes something on the wall. That would get your attention. They come up with a person who can interpret it, and you drop down to the end of the chapter, and it gives the explanation of what was written. The words and the interpretation. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being 62 years old. A letter is known by its handwriting. That was a letter by God that was written. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Did they have to wonder if that was going to happen? No. God said it was going to happen. It happened. The letter is known by its handwriting. Well, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:1, Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. So Peter is writing to these Christians to bring to their memory, to stir up the words that were spoken. God spoke directly. God spoke through the prophets, had things written down. And we need to remember those words because we are that living letter that's going to take those words out to everyone else. If people know you are a Christian at work or in your neighborhood, or if you're in some club or something, they know you're a Christian, they're going to be looking at you a little bit differently. Is this person really what they say they are? Is this person a hypocrite? They're going to be watching us. They're going to be watching us. People can discern handwriting. There are some people that are going to try to forge handwriting. That's what the denominations do. They tell people what to do. They say this is from God, but it's not his writing, it's a forgery. And what's God going to say to them? What's Jesus going to say to them? Matthew 7:23, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So back to where we began, Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God wants to prepare this material to write a letter on us. That letter is going to express what is in the mind of God. That letter is going to bear the signature, the authority of God. That letter, when we receive it, should be legible for the whole world to be able to read. We should not take that letter that he has given us and blot it up and stain it. It should be free of blots, because a letter is known by its handwriting. There is a song that we sing sometimes, and we are God's letter to the world. We are God's letter. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongues but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with work other than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help him and hasten his return? Friends, we are living epistles. Any way you look at it, God has done all of these things. And it's silly, as Paul was saying, to need to hold up a piece of paper that somebody wrote saying, this person is a Christian, he's okay. Our life should show to everybody that we are a child of God. It should show it to them in such a way that they want to be a child of God also. We need to make sure that our life is pure and clean and holy, that we are living a sanctified life set apart. We need to keep reading God's letter that he wrote to us. I can forget what my dad wrote to me, but if I get it out and read it, I'm going to be reminded. We understand that. Why do we think we can read the Bible a few minutes a week and remember and retain everything? It's something we should be reading all the time. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that has spots or stains or blemishes on your letter, you need to make correction. You need to ask for forgiveness, pray for forgiveness, repent of your sins. If there's anybody here this evening that needs to be obedient to the gospel, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.